When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
Here at the Black Information Network, we know how important it is for you to start your week off energized, engaged, and enlightened. There are always major stories that break over the weekend, and we feel you should know about the ones we are talking about today. So stay tuned for our weekend recap featuring Black Information Network news anchor Tyreek Wynn. This is the Black Information Network Daily Podcast, and I'm your host, Ramses Ja. All right, Tyreek, man, how you been, man? It's been a while.
I've been good. How about yourself?
Fantastic, man. I'm happy to have you back on the show and excited to talk to you about the goings on over the past weekend. So let's not keep the people waiting. All right. First up, from Fox News, ex-MSNBC host, podcasters agree Black people shouldn't have to pay taxes. Sounds good so far. Quote, we've never had any reparations. All right. Former MSNBC host Tiffany Cross, political advocate Angela Rye, and former Democrat politician Andrew Gillum entertained the idea that Black people should be exempt from taxes as reparations on the Native Land podcast. The three discussed actor Terrence Howard reportedly claiming it is immoral for the United States government to charge taxes to the descendants of slaves while being ordered to pay $903,115 in back taxes, penalties, and interest. While they recognized the unrealistic possibility of such a policy, Cross claimed that, quote, this brother was making a legitimate point, unquote. She goes on to say, we have never been paid. We have never had any reparations. We've never seen the benefits. Cross also remarked that, quote, when you consider the wealth that Black people created for this country, they are owed some compensation for making the U.S. a superpower. The podcast also focused on tax evasion, with the three insisting that most of the people arrested for the crime are Black. So I know when you came across this, this had to hit. It hit probably everybody some kind of way. So give us your thoughts when you first came across this one.
Same thing you said, like when you first read it, I was like, tax exemptions for all Blacks. I mean, it sounds good. I mean, yeah, I know we would all probably be filthy, stinking rich right now if that was the case, man. But yeah, I was looking at this and I kind of see both sides of it. Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously we know that this is something that's not going to happen, at least, you know, in our lifetime. But yeah. I mean, it does sound good, but yeah, I don't really think it's something that is, like I said, I don't think it's something that's actually going to take place. But I mean, I like the sound of it. I know that I'd definitely be able to keep a lot more in my pocket, which is always a good thing, especially, you know, being a business owner. And I know you know this, being a business owner as well. And so sure. It's just I think that as far as taxes is concerned, me personally, I think taxes in general are a little ridiculous. Just saying. Especially for, you know, certain things that we do, especially like when you take the classes and, you know, different classes as far as wealth is concerned and all that stuff. I do think it is a little outrageous what some people have to what some people have to pay versus others. Mm-hmm. And so that's pretty much how I feel about
the Yeah. You know, there's the one thing that I think is meaningful in terms of this conversation and this conversation kind of making headlines is that it keeps people talking about reparations. Because, you know, in my lifetime, what I've seen in recent years is a more involved conversation around reparations. This has kind of always been something that people have kind of poked and prodded at. But more recently, there's been more people taking it seriously and more people engaging in the conversation. And so, if nothing else, this might expand the framework, the mental framework of what reparations could look like. You know, for a long time, I was under the impression that, you know, reparations didn't necessarily have to take the form of, you know, a check. It could be, you know, free education. It could be free, you know, or increased access to X, Y, and Z, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, with taxes, that's something that it doesn't affect. I don't want to say it doesn't affect, but it hits different than just writing a check to all Black people, right? Yeah. And so, you know, again, just rethinking how reparations could look, you know, rethinking how increasing access could look, is something that is worthy of a conversation. And so, you know, to these folks on this podcast that chose to go in this direction and say, you know, Terrence Howard has a point, you know, taxes is kind of immoral when we built the country.
I mean, it makes sense. It
expands that mental framework. So, you know, but as you mentioned, it's not something that really feels realistic, you know, and when we do get to the point where we're having a real conversations, like in terms of the federal government and reparations for black people in this country, then, you know, in the meantime, we're just going to be having conversations with this, again, poking and prodding at the discussion until we get it far enough down the road to where we can actually do something meaningful about it. But
yeah,
that's what we got. All right. Next up, from the Black Information Network, the chief executive of a British company is under fire for racist comments he made about Diane Abbott, the first Black woman elected to the UK's parliament. According to The Independent, Frank Hester, CEO of healthcare software company The Phoenix Partnership, made the remarks about Abbott, who was elected to the House of Commons in 1987 and represents an area of North London, during a company meeting in 2019. Quote, "It's like trying not to be racist, but you see Diane Abbott on the TV and you're just like, you just want to hate all Black women because she's there. And I don't hate all Black women at all, but I think she should be shot." Unquote. This is from Hester, per The Independent. Hester apologized to Abbott for his comments, according to a statement from his company. Abbott called Hester's comments frightening. Quote, "I'm a single woman and that makes me vulnerable anyway, but to hear someone talking like this is worrying," unquote. She goes on to say, "The fact that two members of parliament have been murdered in recent years makes talk like this all the more alarming." So, some news from across the pond, but I guess they still have to deal with some interesting pushback here and there, the same as we do. So your thoughts, sir?
Me personally, even though he didn't directly say, "I'm going to shoot you" or "you're going to die" or something like that, me personally, I still kind of see it as a threat.
Yeah.
And sure. I see it as a threat because, I mean, you're saying I should be shot.
Yeah.
So if that's something that you're thinking, and there have already been previously people that have been killed, you know, I'm going to figure out a way that I can take some action, because, I mean, you might not do it, but who's to say you're not going to have somebody else do it, right? Yeah. So me personally, like, especially with what she was saying, she feels it's alarming, it's frightening. It is alarming and frightening. And I think it's obviously racist, of course, but it's definitely, it's a scary situation. And if I'm in her shoes, like, I'm kind of afraid for my life right now. Okay, somebody thinks I ought to be killed. Mm. So what, I guess just figuring out what else to do after that. But as far as taking next steps, if, you know, steps can be taken since, because like, is it a threat? I'm not sure, but like, is it a threat if somebody doesn't directly say, "I'm going to do this to you," versus somebody says something should be done to you?
Well, that's a good question. And I think that that's kind of where comments like this get a little tricky. Yeah. This reminds me of Donald Trump when he was saying that, you know, it's going to be effectually what he's communicated to his supporters prior to January 6th is, you know, come on down. We're going to have it's going to be rowdy and we're going to, you know, we're going to get crazy, you know, something like that. But that type of language communicated from that man to that specific base translates to come get ready to do battle. Right now, those of us that see it can see it. But people that want a degree of plausible deniability will look at it and say, no, he simply said, literally, come down. It's going to be a rowdy time. You know what I mean? And again, I don't have his comments in front of me. But again, effectually, what he was saying was something like that, where the language was loose enough to where, you know, you can read it either way. And that's kind of like talking out of both sides of your mouth, right?
Yeah.
But to a person in a position of power, a person with that type of influence, a person with people who support them and will follow them. And as you know, politics has become increasingly separate. The two sides of the aisle, the left and the right, have become more separate than they've been in recent years. And I'm sure that the UK is dealing with kind of a similar dynamic in their politics as well, especially after, you know, the whole back and forth over Brexit and everything like that. That really polarized people, you know. But I can imagine someone like this who was the champion for a group of people. They elected this person to office. There was perhaps some folks that were enthusiastic about getting him in to represent their interests. For him to say she should be shot, you know, it doesn't surprise me at all. It wouldn't surprise me at all. People read that as coded language and like, you know what, I'm going to do the bidding of my champion because he can't do it himself. So let me take this action and do it myself. And that's effectually what we saw on January 6th. You know, obviously Donald Trump can't go and hang Mike Pence himself, you know, but when he puts Mike Pence's name in the middle of a ton of tweets saying, we hope the vice president does the right thing. And if he doesn't, it'll be a bad day for America and it'll affect you personally. And if he does wrong, then it'll affect you and blah, blah, you know, and you need to come and show up on January 6th and stand up for what you believe in and fight like you believe in, you know, fight, you know, like that sort of stuff. You know, again, people can take that and run with it. And so when she says that these comments were frightening and dangerous and all the, you know, these other sorts of things, it's absolutely true. But interesting to see that politics is reacting to this kind of new strongman politician. You know, the world of politics is reacting in the same way that, you know, people here reacted to Donald Trump's, you know, again, in the United Kingdom, there are people who are making these threats and, you know, that could be considered credible, especially given what we've seen in recent years. So,
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does, or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BIN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BIN.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
For sure.
Today's guest on your weekend recap is Black Information Network news anchor Tyreek Wynn. All right, next up from the Atlanta Black Star, an ex-Mississippi police officer could face up to a year in prison after pleading guilty to a charge stemming from pressuring a man in custody to, I apologize, lick his urine. Michael Christian Green arrested a man identified as B.E. on December 23rd, 2023, following a report of a disturbance at a store in Pearl, about 5 miles from Jackson. According to court documents viewed by WJTV, he was taken to a local jail and placed in a cell. What happened after was caught on security cameras inside the facility. B.E. told Green that he had to use the bathroom, but after waiting a while, the arrestee decided to urinate in the back corner of a cell, per the outlet. Green was reportedly captured threatening to strike B.E. with a phone and forcing to suck up his urine. During this time, the former officer was recording the man and even demanded him not to spit it out while he was gagging. Quote, you're fixing to go in there and you're going to lick that urine up, Green allegedly said. Do you understand me? Green, who worked at the Pearl Police Department for less than a year, was relieved from his duties 4 days later, according to NBC News. This followed an investigation. Officials said that if he hadn't resigned, the city council would have recommended his termination. Green pleaded guilty to one count of deprivation of civil rights on Thursday, and his sentence hearing is set for mid-June, WJTV reported. He could spend up to 12 months behind bars. Ugh. All right. That's a little gross, but of course, that's the news. And we're here to get your thoughts and your reaction, Tyreek. So please help us out.
First off, disgusting. Yeah. that's my first thought, because when I was reading the headline, I was like, ew, like, yeah gross. Yeah. So my thing is just there are unfortunately a whole lot of things going on within these jails and prisons with like the conditions that they're in, and then the correctional officers that are in there. It's a lot going on, and I think a lot of this stuff really needs to be investigated, looked into, and all that stuff. I mean there's stuff that happened here in Georgia that was, I don't really think I've seen any like urine stories like that, but just regular wrongdoings that happen in general. And people have to realize that even though these people who have committed these crimes, and they're in there and probably done committed crimes that we can't even imagine, but they are still people, they are still human beings. Mm-hmm. And so, but this is something that is Disgusting. Did they say, I see the office. So I see, because I'm looking at the headline, I see that the officer appears to be Caucasian. Mm-hmm. They didn't say the race of the other. I didn't see that.
I think that the gentleman BE, his mm-hmm. identity was protected. So I don't know. We'll find that out. But you know, to me, what this says, is, of course, it's likely that this person is Black. Mm-hmm. What this speaks to is police powers or perceived police powers, right?
Yeah.
This speaks to police corruption. This speaks to the psychology that is quite prevalent among police officers. Some people should not have authority, full stop. And there are certain characteristics that are that are personality traits. They're just a part of who people are. They're personal, like, identity, right? That you cannot train out of them. That's yeah. just who they are fundamentally. And when you give them power, it corrupts them. And when you give them absolute power, well, as you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely, right? And so no matter what, there are some things that are would be natural assumptions. I think your primary assumption is a natural assumption that this that BE is Black or somehow a minority, some person who is not also in a position of power. Okay,
yeah,
the most vulnerable are indeed the most vulnerable to police. Okay, so that's a valid assumption to have. Another could be that this person is poor. Okay. Poor people don't have power. So even if this, mm-hmm. even if BE was a white person, okay,
yeah,
it would not stand to reason that this person would be wealthy, have some status,
mm-hmm.
family with some status, right? This yeah. would not be a senator's son in the corner of a police cell licking urine up.
Okay? Yeah.
And on down that list, you know, there's some valid deductions that a person might make to arrive at a conclusion about who BE is. However, the fact of the matter is that justice is supposed to be blind. Police officers, in theory, would be held to certain moral standards, not just behavioral and procedural standards, moral standards, right? And if a person is in your cell saying, hey, I have to go to the bathroom, and you don't let that person go to the bathroom, after a while, that person is going to go to the bathroom. That is just a function of mammalian life, right? Any mammal that you keep in captivity and don't allow them access to the bathroom, they will eventually relieve themselves. That is just kind of the way that mammals' bodies are constructed, right?
Yeah, yes, that is.
They're mammals. Yeah. Yeah, so that is.
That has happened in school when I was in grade school.
Yeah, yeah. and you know, and speaking of what happens where, this is not an isolated incident. Indeed, there are people who could say we pick these stories because they serve a narrative. But after a while, the prevalence of stories is in and of itself the narrative, right? I don't know if this was ever proven, but, you know, this reminds me of how there were rumors about how Mike Tyson was mistreated in prison. Maybe it wasn't Mike Tyson. Maybe it was Tupac. I feel like it was Tupac. Tupac was mistreated in prison. And there were these rape allegations that, you know, he was abused, you know, by the officers. And then, of course, since then, you know, we've covered the story, of course, in Mississippi, where there were officers that were, you know, raping men while taking them in custody, men that were handcuffed, men that were in prison, you know, all this sort of stuff. And of course, this is beyond just kind of the violent, aggressive actions that officers take. You know, I thought he had a gun. I feared for my life, that sort of stuff. This is a lot more sadistic. This is a lot more sinister in nature. These are things that are a lot more, they speak to a mental condition, like a sickness that we believe, and I'm sure evidence would suggest, is prevalent, certainly more prevalent than in other industries. You know, you're not going to find taxi drivers. You're not going to find, school counselors. You're not going to find, you know, grocers that are forcing people to do these type of actions, which you do find this type of behavior is more prominent among police officers. I'm not saying it's the majority of officers behaving like this, but this type of behavior, again, establishing that it disproportionately affects Black and brown people, being prevalent among officers. And, you know, the fact of the matter is that the reason that we don't see changes is because, again, if this disproportionately affects Black, brown, poor folks that don't have a lot of power to change their circumstances, then the people that are in a position to change their circumstances, white people with money and with status and power, they don't have an incentive to change it. It doesn't affect them. And from where they sit, provided that they have a modicum of racism, even somewhere in a blind spot that they're not aware of, they look at this and say, well, yeah, shouldn't have broke the law. Right. And the fact of the matter is that, again, our criminal justice system in theory is supposed to be blind, and you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. OK, so if you're in a jail cell, stands to reason you haven't been proven guilty yet. When you're proven guilty, that's typically when you go to prison, certainly for more significant crimes. Or, you know, this circumstance doesn't feel like that, because if you're proven guilty and you do go to jail, you're in a jail with a toilet. So anyway, sounds like it was a holding cell. Sounds like he wasn't proven guilty, and he was mistreated. And the sad part about this whole thing is that the officer resigned, meaning that he will still be employable because he was not terminated. And the other part of this is that if convicted, only looking at 12 months behind bars, and not, you know, several years behind bars. And there's no uniform standard for police officers, meaning that he could, as I mentioned, get right back to it, you know. And then, of course, with years of public service, the judge will look favorably upon your sentence. So we're going to sentence you to 30 days behind bars. So that means the community can't get upset. You know what I mean? Like, he did get punished. 30 days, he's back. It's a vacation for this guy. So a story you need to know about, because it happens. So our final story is the big story. So this comes from NBC News. A Georgia judge ruled Friday that Fulton County District Attorney Fonnie Willis should not be disqualified from prosecuting the racketeering case against former President Donald Trump and several co-defendants, with one major condition. Fulton County Superior Court Judge Scott McAfee found, quote, the appearance of impropriety, unquote, brought by Willis's romantic relationship with special prosecutor Nathan Wade should result in either Willis and her office leaving the case, or just Wade, whom she'd appointed to head the case. Within hours of the decision, Willis's office confirmed Wade had resigned and she had accepted his resignation. The choice was likely an easy one. If Willis were to remove herself, the case would come to a halt. But having Wade leave will ensure the case continues without further delay. His letter, Wade said, quote, I am offering my resignation in the interest of democracy and dedication to the American public, and to move this case forward as quickly as possible, unquote. The judge found there was no actual conflict brought by the relationship, a finding that would have required Willis to be disqualified. So, yeah, this is the one that everyone was talking about over the weekend. Obviously, I guess this is good news for people that really want to see Trump held accountable for what they know that he did. You know, everyone knows that he did it. So let's get your thoughts on this one.
Yeah. So like you said, this is a big one. I'm actually in Georgia, so this is literally taking place right before my eyes. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing about this, it was just another stall technique anyway to just talk the case up and just to hold it up.
We all heard
the phone call, we all seen the evidence. I mean, it's a done deal. And I just think it was just another strategy by the Trump team to hold this thing up. I do want to say, as far as with the ruling and stuff, I do applaud Wade for going ahead and just putting up his resignation, sending the letter to Fonnie Willis's office and stuff, and go ahead and resign. And that way it enforced her to make that tough decision and stuff. Right. So I do applaud him for just, you know, going ahead, throwing that in. That way he could, like you said, he was doing it for the American people and democracy and stuff. That way the case can go ahead and move forward and stuff. And so she accepted that resignation and now is going to go ahead and move forward. So I'm not really sure exactly what the next steps are or what they're going to do from here. But yeah, I guess we'll see what happens within the next coming weeks and see how they proceed.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I think that you hit it right on the head when you said that this was kind of a stall tactic, a delay tactic.
Yeah.
I know that they really want, obviously they want all these cases thrown out because their position is there was nothing wrong. It was a perfect phone call. There was nothing wrong with the documents because he declassified them with his mind or whatever their defense is. But if they can't get the cases thrown out, then delaying until after the election seems to be the strategy. I believe that Donald Trump is hopeful that he can win. And if he wins, he will somehow rise above these charges and they will not affect him. And so that's his best. That's the plan that he has that he's hoping will work out for him. And if he can delay all this stuff until after the election, then he will deal with it then, you know, and be in a much stronger position to handle it. And so a delay is kind of a win for the Trump team. So it's kind of a win for the Trump team, and it wasn't really a loss for Fani Willis's team. And that's the one thing that a lot of people didn't want. Yeah, yeah, kind of. It was just kind of a mixed bag, you know, but with Fani Willis, there's a little bit of a stain on the case now. Which is unfortunate, but, you know, as the judge said, you know, there was no actual conflict brought by the relationship. Otherwise, Willis would have been disqualified and they would have had to start from scratch again. So obviously the whole country is watching this trial and we will continue to watch it and keep everyone in the loop. In the meantime, that's the news for the weekend. I'd like to thank you, as always, for your insight. Once again, today's guest is Black Information Network news anchor Tyreek Wynn. This has been a production of the Black Information Network. Today's show was produced by Chris Thompson. Have some thoughts you'd like to share? Use the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. I'm your host, Ramses Ja, on all social media. And join us tomorrow as we share our news with our voice from our perspective, right here on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between Lisa and West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is expertly crafted from natural latex, natural wool, and certified safe foams to elevate your sleep sanctuary and support a greener tomorrow. Plus, every purchase helps fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.